Senator Lindsey Graham says that the entire Mueller investigation was illegitimate from the start. We'll tell you why today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So now we know that the scope of the investigation was to look at Carter Page, Flynn, Papadopoulos, and Manafort as to whether or not they were working with the Russians. Now, this is in August of 2017. You nailed it. In January 2017, the subsource disavowed the dossier, and without the dossier, there's no warrant. So they knew that the Carter Page thing was a fraud.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
So there was no legitimate reason to believe any of these four were working with the Russians on August the 2nd, 2017. Therefore, the entire Mueller investigation was illegitimate to begin with.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So why? Why was the entire Mueller investigation illegitimate to begin with? Well, Senator Lindsey Graham requested that the Department of Justice Office of Legislative Affairs finally send over to him the memo regarding the scope of investigation and definition of authority for Bob Mueller's special counsel team. Now, he got most of the memo unredacted. Now, there is a significant part unredacted, and I will tell you, there's one individual we don't know about in this memo. Than, I want to start with that, because I'm going to hold it up. We hear about Paul Manafort, Papadopoulos, Michael Flynn, and one other individual. Now, is it the Trump campaign, or is it the president himself? And you've got to wonder why they still keep this redacted.
Yeah, there's a whole lot in this memo, Jordan, that has been unredacted. I know we're going to get to it. There's enough in that portion, but you do have to wonder what is still behind the black lines. I will tell you, people on Capitol Hill are asking the question that you just asked. Who inside the Trump campaign, or maybe the president himself? I would put it to you this way, Jordan. I have maybe my own suspicions on who it is, but I would tell you this. If it's any United States citizen, based on how the investigations were run against the other four individuals in this memo, Jordan, they deserve to know. I mean, whether they committed a wrong or they did not, we know the missteps in this investigation have been so egregious and the violations against U.S. citizens are so egregious. If that is a United States citizen, whether it's a president of the United States or a minimum wage worker that has nothing to do with the campaign, Jordan, that U.S. citizen needs to know that this group of individuals who abused their power was also looking at them. We need to know who's under those black lines.
So this was an August 2nd, 2017 memo from Rod Rosenstein to Bob Mueller, the scope of investigation and definition of authority. And the first is you are within the scope of the order to investigate, quote, the allegations that Carter Page committed a crime or crimes by colluding with Russian government officials with respect to the Russian government's efforts to interfere with the 2016 election for president of the United States in violation of the United States law. By the time this memo was written, John Solomon pointed this out in a new memo and a new article today. By the time this memo was sent to Bob Mueller, we knew this. The FBI had already fired Christopher Steele as an informant for leaking. They had already interviewed Steele's subsource who disputed information attributed to him. They had ascertained that allegations Steele had given the FBI specifically about Carter Page were inaccurate and likely came from Russian intelligence sources as disinformation. And FBI had been informed repeatedly by the CIA that Carter Page was not a Russian stooge, but rather a cooperating intelligence asset for the United States government. And yet, in the scope of investigation, the first person listed, Carter Page. After all of that information, clearing Carter Page has been informed. The FBI has learned about it, which means the DOJ knows about it. That is part of the reason, just part of the reason, Lindsey Graham has said it puts the whole Mueller investigation and calls into question how illegitimate it was. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. How interesting it is we're finding this out. We find out about the Schiff 53 depositions yesterday. And now today, the Mueller scope of authority. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Can we play Lindsey Graham for everybody today? I just want everybody to hear this. Senator Lindsey Graham, when he got this, it's a short memo. I mean, if you put it all together and don't include the redaction, it's 2.5 pages. I mean, this is a short memo on August 2nd, 2017. It laid out the scope. I mean, I'll tell you what this was. On May 17, 2017, this is Rod Rosenstein to Bob Mueller. I issued an order entitled Appointment of Special Counsel to Investigate Russian Interference with the 2016 presidential election related matters, appointing you to serve as special counsel. The order authorized you to conduct the investigation confirmed by then FBI Director Jim Comey in testimony before the House. Any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald Trump and any matters that arose or may arise directly from that investigation. That line right there, that point two, opens the door up to basically everything. But now we get a little more specific on some of the individuals Bob Mueller was targeting, that more specifically than just the Trump campaign. Listen to Lindsey Graham, bite number six.
So there was no legitimate reason to believe any of these four were working with the Russians on August the 2nd, 2017. Therefore, the entire Mueller investigation was illegitimate to begin with.
And that then is because the entire dossier that lists people like Carter Page and others, George Papadopoulos, you look at this list, Mike Flynn, was completely discredited already before this scope memo was given to Bob Mueller. The information was discredited. They didn't need to look there because the FBI and the CIA had already concluded that this was not accurate information. And yet they went on. They didn't provide the exculpatory info on Michael Flynn, which we now know was stamped with SCO, Special Counsel's Office, even though that was under their purview. Now we know Michael Flynn was under their purview for the time period where the Special Counsel was appointed. And they didn't bring that information forward. And they carried on this multi-million dollar investigation that led to finding nothing, which they should have known because they were told from the beginning by the FBI and CIA, there was nothing there. Just like Peter Strzok knew, there is no there. This was just to damage the president and divide the country for years and drag us through the mud.
There was so much sleight of hand going on at various points of this, Jordan. There are two main things that bother me about today's development. The first is that we were continually told by whether it was the special counsel or Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein or others involved that the scope of this investigation was narrow, 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 that they were not going down rabbit trails, that it was not open-ended, that it was very narrow. We now know from this memo that anything that couldn't have been further from the truth, Jordan. I mean, really, these four individuals and a fifth who we don't yet know about, that is what you consider a narrow-scoped investigation. And then the second thing, we were led to believe, again, by testimony from the same individuals, and I would include the special counsel in that because he gave offhanded answers that so much of this happened before he was brought on or the investigation was open or the information about the Steele dossier was exposed. We were led to believe that they did not look at the dossier, Jordan. Those weren't his exact words, but it was basically, I was brought on after the investigation was opened and after the Steele dossier was complied with. Well, Jordan, if that is the case, then Carter Page should not be listed in this scope memo that went from Rosenstein to Robert Mueller. So, you know, he may not have outright said he didn't look at it, but Jordan, being willing to give the impression that that was outside the scope when here, in black and white, it is clearly within the scope, that is extremely problematic, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I look at then, let's look at some of the other individuals, some who faced serious consequences from this, including Paul Manafort. It wasn't just did he commit crimes by colluding with Russian government officials with respect to interfere with the 2016 election, which I thought would be the scope of why you'd be looking at this, right, Dan? I mean, you'd be looking at Paul Manafort to see if he colluded with Russians. No, it goes on to say, it just shows the bias here. Was there anything wrong with what he did with the Ukrainian government consulting, which had nothing to do with the Trump campaign? Was there anything wrong to do with bank loans he got that had nothing to do with the Trump campaign and colluding with Russia? So even with Paul Manafort, who's been convicted of serious crimes unrelated to anything involving the Trump campaign, why was the special counsel and not just regular prosecutors assigned that task to take him down? Part of me thinks it's because they had no one else to take down through this. It was so weak, so they needed somebody who maybe committed some crimes that usually aren't even charged or looked into that they could take down. And so Paul Manafort, unfortunately for him, became that target. So they added this on for Paul Manafort, even though it was totally unrelated to his work with the Trump campaign.
I wholly agree with that, Jordan, because what is the most efficient way to pursue the two crimes that you talked about, the one related to Ukraine, the one related to a bank loan? It would have actually been to separate it out from the special counsel's purview, right, and allow the prosecution to proceed in regular course. But then what would have happened, Jordan? I mean, let's say Paul Manafort still gets convicted outside the regular course. The special counsel then doesn't have a scalp to hold up. And I know that's a pretty graphic language, but Jordan, literally, I think that is why that is included in the scope, so that he can refer it out in due course, and at least as you go along. Remember how this happened, Jordan. There were announcements along the ways about, you know, potential victories, I guess, prosecutorial victories that the special counsel had, and this was one of them. By including it in the scope, it gave the special counsel the opportunity along the way to show progress, even though progress, Jordan, had nothing to do with what the public was being told was in his purview.
There's two more individuals listed on this scope that are more, you know, there was a general look inside to see if the Trump campaign colluded or conspired with Russia. And then there were four individuals we know about. A fifth has been redacted. We don't know who that fifth person is. We could assume it's either someone inside the U.S. government currently. So is it the President of the United States? President Trump? I mean, it'd just be guessing at this point, but there was a reason to redact. They redacted that for purposes that we don't know about yet. But I want to take a phone call before we get to the next two, because the next two are also egregious for different reasons than Carter Page, who they already knew all the information that was negative about him was made up, discredited in the dossier, discredited. The FBI didn't believe it. The CIA, the intelligence community didn't believe it. In fact, he was an agent of the U.S. government. He was working for the U.S. government, helping the U.S. government in his activities. And yet, this was still, a year later, put into the scope of what Bob Mueller should investigate and his special counsel team. But let's go to Jerry's call in Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, team. This question is very much involved with professional responsibility of lawyers, so it's kind of going to exclude Strzok. It's going to exclude Priestap, but every lawyer.
Strzok is an attorney, and I think Priestap may be an attorney as well. A lot of those top FBI officials, Jerry, are actually attorneys.
Okay, so if they're all practicing out in other places, but they were all part of this, we all take CLEs every year, which requires an ethical component, and the biggest rule I can think of is candor to the court. If these documents are showing that all these attorneys who are now out practicing in other places, if that can be shown they violated candor to the court, is there not an argument that they should have some professional responsibility punitive actions taken on them?
It's like the minimum thing. I mean, to me, what we're really looking at here, with you put all this together with Mike Flynn and now this memo, is criminal charges. I mean, the kind of next level would be like disbarment or bar, any kind of issues with the bar, whether it was some kind of bar discipline or suspended bar licenses, things like that. The real issues here are whether or not there's going to be criminal charges filed.
And I really think there should be, Jordan. I actually think there will be. I think that's why John Durham is staffing up. But you want some rich irony on this case, Jordan? It's not directly related to this memo, but all of this ties together. James Comey and Andrew Weissman, Jordan, they have both found gigs in the academic world teaching what? Teaching ethics courses. Can you imagine they're teaching ethics courses right now? That I think that's something that the American people should know and would probably have an interest in. And by the way, if CLE credit is being granted for taking ethics courses from those two, maybe we need to reevaluate. But look, I really do think the right people are looking at these now. I think John Durham has it under his purview. I know the Attorney General is looking at it. It does still give me consternation that there are redactions, Jordan. But I will say this, there might be a good reason for it now. And I do take great comfort in the people that are looking at it now. My problem is the four individuals you've talked about, Jordan, until yesterday, they were redacted as well. So,
yep. Yeah, I mean, think about that, folks. These were people. Listen, we haven't named the next two. I'll give you a little preview. It's George Papadopoulos, and it was way more than what we thought about for him that they were looking into. And this was like a campaign volunteer. And Mike Flynn. Surprise, surprise, Mike Flynn is on this list. The redacted one, listen. If it was the president, and we know that the president was completely cleared here and they redacted him because they didn't want to throw his name through the mud, I understand that. But was it somebody else that they're protecting? I don't think so, because this came from Bill Barr. So he's probably saying, we're not going to throw through the mud someone who has already been cleared through this. We're taking your calls about it. 1-800-684-3110. When you put this all together with what we've learned about Mike Flynn, when you put this all together with what we've learned with the Adam Schiff transcripts that he refuses to release, and you put now this full scope memo out, which Lindsey Graham says discredits the entire legitimacy of the Mueller report. We want to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on JSecio Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
I don't know if we can pull it back, but Fox News is reporting now that Adam Schiff is in crisis mode because there is nothing in the transcripts, nothing in the transcripts that we've been talking about, the 53 transcripts, that allude to Trump-Russia collusion, Than. So just to go back to that for a moment, I mean, because I think this all ties together. It's the same thing. That he's in a crisis mode about releasing these transcripts because if that is the case and involved in, you know, testimony from top Trump officials, including the President Trump's son and son-in-law, his top campaign advisors, top aides, it also included top Obama officials. If it shows that there was no Trump-Russia collusion, it undermines, kind of like how this memo discredits the entire Mueller investigation, as Lindsey Graham said, this would undermine everything Adam Schiff was doing.
Yeah, I'm hearing from several different sources on Capitol Hill, Jordan, that description of Chairman Schiff is pretty accurate right now, that he is in somewhat of a panic mode trying to scramble and figure out how to comply with the ultimate release of these transcripts that now looks apparent. It does sound like maybe at some point he is going to put them out. A couple of things are really ironic, though, Jordan. It does sound like the transcripts show no collusion, which, of course, is what the report found in the end. But in the intervening space, Chairman Schiff was running to the cameras and saying he had direct evidence of collusion. So when these transcripts are out, that's going to be very difficult for him to explain. Jordan, maybe the other thing that's more interesting, though, he's now blaming the intelligence community for the delay, saying it took too long. Never mind that he had 43 of those back in June of last year.
Yeah, and he held on to 10, but sources are telling Fox News, and remember, there are a lot of members of Congress who were there for these this testimony, the Republicans were conducting it, that there is no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion in these transcripts, so that Adam Schiff is in panic mode. Why did you continue this narrative? Why did we not put this information out clearly and have to wait for Bob Mueller to tell everybody? But yet, Bob Mueller, as we just got from a friend of ours, hey, they needed a reason to stay in business for as long as possible, so they got federal grand juries to play with, and they don't want to willingly give that up. So let me go to the next two people, and then we're going to play some sound for you that's pretty interesting. So George Papadopoulos is the third person listed here. He was a campaign volunteer. So in the scope, the DOJ wanted to look at whether or not he committed a crime or crimes by colluding with Russian government officials with respect to, intervening in the 2016 election. The second one was whether George Papadopoulos committed a crime or crimes by acting as an unregistered agent of the government of Israel. First time we've heard that one. That would be a FARA violation. Now, this was a law that until recently, the Foreign Agents Registration Act, was something that you would pay a penalty usually for if the government thought you were violating. But now the DOJ is trying to more strictly enforce. They haven't had a great run at doing that, by the way, because the same people who are trying to enforce it and the newest person at DOJ trying to enforce it is the same DOJ attorney who withheld all of the information about Michael Flynn. So they're trying to go after Papadopoulos on a FARA violation involving the government of Israel. What, Than, does that have to do with Russia collusion with the Trump campaign?
Yeah, nothing. Pulling out all the stops, Jordan. I mean, looking at FARA, looking at the Logan Act, trying to keep this scope as narrow as possible, wholly related on Russia, except for all of these other things that either are never charged or have nothing to do with the case. And Jordan, I think the other thing that's worth mentioning here, all due respect to George Papadopoulos, this was not like a campaign manager. This is a low-level staffer in his late 20s who I think is probably a very a smart person. But this is not someone who was steering the direction of the incoming president of the United States. That's the level to which the intelligence community apparatus was trying to engage against American citizens. Someone in their late 20s who did not have the ear of the president.
I mean, think about this. I'll get to Michael Flynn in a moment. Patty wrote it on Facebook. They all knew it was a lie from the beginning, yet they continued down the rabbit hole to find nothing, and now they've covered it up. That's what Adam Schiff is trying to do with not releasing these transcripts. But Congressman Steve Chabot, listen to him when he questioned Bob Mueller about why Fusion GPS or anyone linked to Fusion GPS, why are they not mentioned at all in your 448-page report that relied so heavily, now that we know from your scope memo, on information in the dossier, especially the Carter Page information? Why no mention? And of course, Bob Mueller is punting. Take a listen.
Fusion GPS produced the opposition research document widely known as the Steele dossier, and the owner of Fusion GPA was someone named Glenn Simpson. Are you familiar with?
This is outside my purview.
Okay. Glenn Simpson was never mentioned in the 448-page Mueller report, was he?
Well, as I say, it's outside my purview, and it's being handled in the department by others.
Okay. Well, he was not. 448 pages. The owner of Fusion GPS that did the Steele dossier that started all this, he's not mentioned in there.
He's not mentioned in there. I think Senator John Kennedy said it best. Take a listen to this, Byte 13, after he saw this memo. Take a listen.
I wasn't as surprised by the scope memo. I think based on what I observed and what the American people observed throughout the Mueller investigation, it always appeared that they were just after a scalp.
A scalp. And Than, that brings me to Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn, he got the most bullet points, even more than Paul Manafort. So one was, did he commit a crime by engaging in conversations with Russian government officials during the period of the Trump transition? That would be a Logan Act violation. It has never been used before, or maybe once before. It comes from 1799, before telephones, and it makes it a crime. Let me just tell people what the Logan Act is. It makes it a crime for a U.S. state, a federal law that criminalizes negotiation by unauthorized, remember, negotiation by unauthorized American citizens with foreign governments having a dispute with the U.S. Now, why would that apply as a crime to the incoming national security advisor to the President of the United States during a transition if he was going to talk to a world superpower like Russia? It wouldn't. The Logan Act is likely unconstitutional, by the way, because it's never really been applied. No one's been charged criminally with this since the invention of modern communication. And the reason why is because the Department of Justice doesn't want to bring charges with it, because it would likely declare the whole act unconstitutional. That was the first thing they noted, Than, to try and go after Michael Flynn on, was just talking to Russian government officials during the transition. This is after the election. You're coming into office. You're going to be the national security advisor for the incoming president of the United States in a matter of days. Why wouldn't you be talking to the one of the world superpowers, amongst others? You know, it's this focus on Russia, but I'm sure he was talking to other world leaders and other international governments as well.
If you're not talking to Russian leaders, being in that position incoming, it's dereliction of duty, Jordan, yeah. Plain and simple. And look, I would tell you, I agree with you that charging the Logan Act or looking into investigations of the Logan Act is almost laughable. But Jordan, if there's a Logan Act violation here, I mean, I think about the fact that General Flynn got crosswise with President Obama. So is this retaliation because there's a political dispute with the outgoing president of the United States? I mean, yeah. If there's a Logan Act, I think that one probably is more applicable.
Yeah, there's also the next one's even more dangerous, I think, for Michael Flynn. It was ridiculous because a special counsel was tasked with, Michael Flynn commit a crime or crimes by making false statements to the FBI when interviewed about his contacts with the Russian government? And now we know the special counsel's office was sitting on the exculpatory evidence that Michael Flynn did not, in fact, lie. So they got tasked with that, but yet didn't put forward the exculpatory evidence. There's more on Flynn, yet more Farah. More Logan Act. We'll get right to it. We come back, second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Coming up, take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right. I mean, we haven't even gotten through it. It's only two and a half pages of all. So we know the four individuals, Carter Page, and by the time they were assigned to look at Carter Page, the FBI had already concluded. Let me just tell you something. FBI had already concluded that Christopher Steele had been fired because he was leaking, that they had interviewed Steele's subsource who disputed the information attributed to him, ascertained that allegations Christopher Steele had given the FBI specifically about Carter Page were inaccurate and likely came from Russian intelligence sources as disinformation, and the FBI had been repeatedly informed by the CIA that Page was not a Russian stooge, but rather a cooperating intelligence asset for the U.S. government. And yet he is person number one on the scope memo for what the special counsel could look at, the scope of investigation and definition of authority. All that information was already out about Carter Page, and yet they still looked into it. We're still with the FISA warrants. We went through the bias looking at not just Paul Manafort with Russia collusion, which they never found, but what he did with Ukraine previous to joining the Trump campaign and what he did with some bank loan that had nothing to do with the Trump campaign. We looked at a FARA violation they were looking at with George Papadopoulos on whether he committed a crime by acting as an unregistered agent as the government of Israel. This is something brand new. And then number four, we've walked through some of the allegations on Michael Flynn. One was the Logan Act, which is completely unconstitutional, as many constitutional scholars have said. This idea that a U.S. citizen cannot talk to a foreign government because it may appear that the U.S. citizen is acting on behalf of the U.S. government was written in 1799 when it was a lot more difficult to communicate and a lot more confusing. Now it's like, what, if you made, you know, you traveled overseas, you work like the ACLJ and work internationally and we have international offices, or is our office confusing itself with actually being the U.S. government? I don't think so. But is that up to interpretation by DOJ? Well, they've never actually brought those charges. But then you look at the FARA acts as well. And that's a Foreign Agent Registration Act, which does require you to register if you're a foreign agent. In the past, if you didn't do so correctly, it was a financial penalty. Now it's jail time. But what was interesting with Michael Flynn was they had the exculpatory evidence on the interview with the FBI, and special counsel's office stamp is on that exculpatory evidence that was just uncovered last week. And they didn't put any of that in their report. They also didn't put in their report that, you know, they were looking at whether or not Michael Flynn committed a crime or crimes by acting as an unregistered agent for Turkey. So again, another FARA violation that had nothing to do with what? Trump campaign, Russia collusion. And what's interesting to me, Than, and I'll go to Andy on this first, Andy Economo, senior, you know, former U.S. attorney, and Andy is this. This was not like things they uncovered later. This was stuff the Department of Justice told Bob Mueller and his team to look at right from the beginning. The stuff that had nothing to do with Trump campaign and Russia government conspiracy.
No, it absolutely did not, Jordan. This Mueller investigation and the appointment of Robert Mueller as the special counsel was a joke from day one. It should never have happened, because what Rosenstein wrote in the memo, Mueller already knew that none of those people had colluded with Russia. The whole thing was a hoax from day one.
All right, we're going to take your phone calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We now have got Andy Economo joining us as well. Like Jim on Facebook wrote in, did Mueller even read his own report? If you watched him testify, it didn't look like it. And if you read the report, it looks like multiple people wrote it. It doesn't flow. The sentence structures are bizarre, at least poorly written at best. But we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. This all matters because Michael Flynn, his transcripts that Schiff won't release. We'll talk about it when we come back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So you put it all into context. I think John Roberts from Fox News, not the Chief Justice, but John Roberts, the reporter, White House reporter, said, remember, initially all we knew about the scope that Bob Mueller and his special counsel team had into what they were looking into as a special counsel was, one, any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald Trump, and two, any matters that arose or may arise directly from that investigation. Even part two gave a lot of breath, because if you found anything else out, you could pursue that. Now, that's kind of typical in law enforcement, that if you stumble upon other crimes while you're looking at the main aspect of what you've been tasked to look at, you're not going to ignore that, okay? But now we know that the memo, and I want to go to Andy on this, specified five individuals, Andy, two of which we know were already cleared, Mike Flynn by the FBI field office in Washington, D.C., and Carter Page by the CIA. They had been cleared 8 months to a year before Bob Mueller ever got this memo from Rod Rosenstein in the Department of Justice, and yet they are two of the four people we know were specifically targeted by Bob Mueller. There's a fifth person that has been redacted. We don't know who that person is yet. I would hope that the Department of Justice, Andy, did that at a good faith effort to protect and not slander anyone who maybe their name has not come up in this, or they have already been cleared, so they don't need this information out about them. Maybe it is the President of the United States or someone close to him, but there's certainly a reason why DOJ did that. And I think they're acting in good faith, Bob Barr, by, again, putting this information out. But, Andy, the fact that it went from those two bullet points of Trump, Russia, collusion, conspiracy, and anything else that arose, and also these five specific individuals, even though we know at least two of the four, because we don't know who the fifth was, were already exonerated 8 months to a year before special counsel's team even got this memo.
Which brings up the question, did Rod Rosenstein know what he was doing all along? Did he talk to anybody? Did he have any communications with his fellow government officials about people and what they were doing and what they were investigating? And the answer seems to me that Rosenstein was completely at sea. He had no idea what was going on, because he sets out specific people to investigate who've already been cleared Flynn, for example, and Page, for example, and yet he says, here, go look at them, to Mueller, and Mueller, of course, following the directions of his direct superior, goes and does it. Why in the world is he doing that? Does he not know that these people have been cleared? Is he incompetent? Is he foolish? Is he stupid? Is he intentionally doing these things? Why is he taking this course of action and this approach when he knows that these people have been cleared? Finally, the Attorney General now, Bill Barr, says, I'm going to let this stuff come out, and I am going to redact, as you mentioned, the name of the one person, because that person had been cleared, and we shouldn't put his name out in public. Why don't you do the same thing for Flynn and Page? Why did you pursue them in this memo? It seems to me that the scope memo shows the investigation, and I'm talking about all of it, Jordan, was, as Senator Graham says, illegitimate to begin with.
Illegitimate to begin with. I want to start taking your phone calls, but I do want to hear, let's hear from Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Texas. This is a good bite. Just to put this into context, bite 28.
They had an idea, they had a conclusion, they had a crime that they wanted to prove, and they gave themselves the power to try and prove it. This is a horrible, horrible precedent to set. Okay, it goes against, again, every foundation we have in jurisprudence, in law, in due process.
And what he's saying there is they had all this that they wanted to prove. They had their conclusions. They wanted to take down the president. They wanted to show that they were conspiring. There's Russian agents, that the president was a Russian agent and his campaign team. They just had no evidence of that. In fact, they were being told by the FBI and CIA consistently that there is no evidence. In fact, the opposite, that people like Carter Page are U.S. intelligence assets. I mean, think about that for a moment, folks. And that is not the way law enforcement is supposed to work, Andy. You don't say, we want to put this guy in jail, so let's go try to figure out how to put this guy in jail. You deal with it when, if evidence comes to you, you look at whether or not you start investigations. You don't start investigations by just saying, I don't like the politics of this person, so let's conclude with, I want to convict them. I want to remove them from office. I want to get them impeached. I want to get them tried by the Senate. And I want to see the impeachment, even though I have no evidence of it. That's not how investigations are supposed to work.
No, investigations are there to investigate whether crimes have been committed, not to create crimes, as they were doing with Flynn in the memo that was just recently released. Let's get him in there to make admissions, tell the truth, or if he doesn't do that, lie so we can get him fired. That's the you've already made your conclusion, and now you're bending your investigation to create the conclusion and corroborate the conclusion that you've already arrived at. That's doing it backwards, and it's doing it incorrectly, and it's contorting and perverting the law. And that's what. And I lay a lot of this at the feet of Rod Rosenstein. He was running the investigation after Jeff Sessions recused himself. Where was he? Why didn't he inform himself with respect to the fact that these men had been cleared and give Mueller, the great James Madison, astute, great former colonel of the Marine Corps, who they put up there as the poster boy for integrity? Why did he give him those instructions? Well, I don't think he had any integrity at all.
No, I mean, and listen, Than, you talked that we've talked about who this fifth person that is not has been redacted by DOJ. Who, remember, I mean, until yesterday, all of this was redacted by DOJ. It's now been released. The fifth person, yeah, we've talked about, could it be the president, but it also could be someone who's an asset that hasn't been exposed, like Carter Page, inadvertently by our ridiculous, politically charged investigations.
Well, it'd be a miracle if the asset hadn't been compromised at this point, because the others that were in this report were. But, Jordan, that would be a good reason for continuing the redactions. Maybe by some miracle, it's an asset that has continued to serve the government. That'd be a good reason to keep their identity hidden. Jordan, I did want to just very quickly, though, circle back to a point you made about the special counsel, because I remember when the special counsel came to testify in front of Congress, and in his very opening, Jordan, he said that he wasn't going to talk about the Steele dossier, so don't ask me any questions about it. That predated the sound that you played just a few minutes ago, where Steve Chabot did push him anyway on it. And he twice, Jordan, said, quote, that is outside my purview. Guess what? That sounds very much like a lie to Congress, Jordan, because here in black and white, in your hands and in mine, I see a bullet that says Carter Page is specifically inside the purview that was granted to Bob Mueller. If the intelligence community had already cleared him of being a U.S. asset, what is left other than the Steele dossier, Jordan? That's very shaky ground for the special counsel.
Yeah, I mean, this is when Bob Mueller opened his testimony. This is what Dana's talking about. And this, he said, these are all the things I'm not going to talk about. It was all the stuff that's in the memo that we now know about, and it's the dossier. Take a listen.
The Justice Department has asserted privileges concerning investigative information and decisions, ongoing matters within the Justice Department, and deliberations within our office. These are Justice Department privileges that I will respect. The department has released the letter discussing the restrictions on my testimony. I therefore will not be able to answer questions about certain areas that I know are of public interest. For example, I am unable to address questions about the initial opening of the FBI's Russia investigation, which occurred months before my appointment, or matters related to the so-called Steele dossier. These matters are subject of ongoing review by the department. Any questions on these topics should therefore be directed to the FBI or the Justice Department.
I mean, Andy, I hear that. Now you put all this into context and you realize, but so much of the special counsel's work was based off the Steele dossier, like the allegations about Carter Page, George Papadopoulos is an Israeli foreign agent. I mean, it's absurd. And now we know about the Michael Flynn information, and that they didn't give over the exculpatory info, and it was stamped by special counsel's office. Now, we all believe, Andy, that Bob Mueller wasn't running this, and we're going to take people's phone calls when we come back, 1-800-684-3110. That's where we're going to focus on. Karen, Rick, Lori, we're going to get to all your calls right when we come back from this next break. But, Andy, right there, that punt by Bob Mueller that we saw over and over again throughout his testimony, which was so undermining to Democrats who wanted to demonize this president and make him out to be a Russian agent. Those being demonized now, in reality, are these former law enforcement officials.
Jordan, the reason that Bob Mueller didn't find anything was that there was nothing to find. And before it even started, as Senator Graham has said, the FBI and the Department of Justice knew there was nothing. Bob Mueller made a fool of himself before Congress. He couldn't even read his report. He wouldn't talk about things. He kept saying, I can't discuss this, I can't discuss that. And the reason was he didn't know what he was talking about. He had other minions, 18 prosecutors, who were out to do one thing, put another scalp on their belts. And one of the scalps was the President of the United States.
You know, it's interesting, Than pointed out in our chat, he tried to lump Mueller, the dossier, with all the things that predated him. But all of this predated him, his appointment, obviously. Then he was appointed. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
All right, I want to jump right in. We've got breaking news, live breaking news, just coming in from the House Judiciary GOP Twitter account. Than, it appears that Rick Grenell, the acting director of National Intelligence, ambassador to Germany, letter back to Schiff that said, hey, if you're not going to release these 53 transcripts, I think I can do it to satisfy the congressional vote. Looks like Adam Schiff, who supposedly is terrified about releasing these because it shows no Trump-Russia collusion from any of the people interviewed, including the former Obama people and the former and the Trump people as well that were interviewed. But Schiff has now kind of figured out that the pressure has gotten to him. Tell people what has occurred.
Yeah, it looks like his spokesman has announced that he will release the transcripts. A couple of big caveats here there, Jordan. He says in the coming weeks. Well, you know, I don't know what is left to do. They want to do their own review and make sure, that the redactions are so they're still delaying. And I think the House GOP on the judiciary say it right. They say Schiff caves, but we'll believe it when we see it. The other thing here, Jordan, that they're announcing is they're blaming Rick Grenell's office. They say after months of unnecessary, protracted delays in the declassification on behalf of the ODNI, that is now complete, and the chairman will release the transcripts in the coming weeks. Jordan, we all know last July, 43 of these were done. The chairman was informed about it. He could have released them at that point. So even as he announces that he's about to release these, which is undoubtedly a good thing, the pressure got to him, Jordan. He's trying to obfuscate and he's trying to blame other people for his shortcomings.
All right, now think about this, folks. Last July, it's May. Last July, 43 of these were ready to be released. Why weren't all 53? Because Schiff wasn't handing them over to the Director of National Intelligence, so his staff could review them for classified information. But now Schiff trying to push the blame. So he is saying they're coming weeks right now. I think the House GOP is right to say the Judiciary Committee, Congressman on the House Judiciary Committee, the Republicans, to say that Schiff has caved, but we'll believe it when we see it is right. It's not until we see those transcripts and see how they read and see how much his team tries to, you know, redact. But I think this is a huge breaking news event. And it all occurred. We put the pressure on. Rick Grenell put the pressure on Schiff as well. And Schiff, instead of saying, I'm going to go to court if Rick Grenell tries to do this, realized, I better do this or I'm going to look like an idiot. And he now is in the process of doing it. Now, he should be able to do it immediately. I don't know why this is taking so long, why it will take weeks, but I think he's preparing for the storm that's going to come at him. And it's a storm he doesn't want to have to deal with, but now does have to deal with. I want to take some of your phone calls, though, as well, because I think Andy can help answer some of these calls. That is great breaking news. We'll get into that more tomorrow on the broadcast. We get more info about it. I mean, literally, this is all just based off a statement from Adam Schiff's office, and we'll get into that more tomorrow on the broadcast. But a great breaking news update. Karen in Texas, thank you for holding on, Karen. Let's get Karen a book. You are on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys. Thank you for all you do. We really appreciate you.
Thanks, Karen.
My question is, now that with all the information coming out about the Mueller report, can that be nullified and ultimately the impeachment?
Well, I'll go to Andy on this. There is a way to nullify, I think, impeachments by, you know, it would take a majority of the House turning Republican, the Senate being Republican, and you could go back and do that. But the president was ultimately acquitted. The report itself, I mean, Andy, is there a way to say, in a sense, the report said nothing. So I'm not sure what else to do about it other than the fact that it did say nothing. It was that you can't get the money back that they used from the taxpayers. And certainly, I think the more information that comes out, the more it is nullified.
It is nullified, but I'm afraid that we can't redress the grievance of the tainted and discredited Mueller report. The fact is that based upon that, the House of Representatives determined that there were high crimes and misdemeanors. That's a political decision that they make. They sent it over to the Senate. The Senate found that the president was not guilty of any of that. We can't rewrite history. The report is what the report is, but it has been discredited, completely and entirely discredited. 2 years, $20 million, 18 prosecutors, a waste of time, a waste of money by the taxpayers of the United States, who need it in much more severe circumstances, need that money to be placed in other areas. But what's done is done, and I don't think that we can do much about it.
Let's go to Lori in Indiana on line one. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, God bless the work of your hands. My question is, if any of these guys are convicted, is there any way they can be made to pay back all the wasted taxpayer money?
If they can get convicted of crimes, they're going to jail. The taxpayer money, though, Than, no. That money was allocated to be spent on these, and they're not going to be the ones held liable for that. It's, of course, the American taxpayer.
Right, not going to get that money back, Jordan. But look, holding them to account, I would tell you that will save taxpayer money in the future because it will be a disincentive for federal officials to act like this again. And, Jordan, we desperately need that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll take Rick's call. I know people always feel this way. And again, because she's popping back up in political circles once again, Hillary Clinton. Rick, in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes. With all this information, if it does come down from the top, from President Obama's office or Hillary Clinton, is there anything that can be done to be held accountable for?
Here's the thing. I think it's, one, they were not in these testimony and interviews. We're not going to find their information. Now, one interesting part, now, Andy, that we know, because remember, they weren't interviewed in this. And I don't think President Obama was not the type. He had pretty smart AGs around him who was going to write a memo to Loretta Lynch or Eric Holder, say, to do this. And neither would, like, Hillary Clinton. It would be their subsidiaries, be kind of the people right below them. That certainly hurts their presidency. But, Andy, what is interesting now is that if we get what we're being told is that Adam Schiff is going to release these transcripts, is we'll now be able to take those 53 testimonies, sometimes they were the same person two or three times, and look at if they testified in Congress under oath, and if there's discrepancies there that would be criminal violations because they lied to Congress or lied to investigate. Either they lied when they were giving their closed-door testimony or lied when they were doing their public testimony.
Oh, that's exactly right. What we want to do is look at those transcripts to see whether they committed violations of Title 18, 1001, which is lying to federal agents or lying to Congress, and we're going to know that once we see the documents. I suspect that what they did was, as I've said yesterday and I've said many times on this program, they will always protect the king. They will always protect the monarch, and that is Obama, whether it's Loretta Lynch or whether it's his stooge Eric Holder, who was his attorney general for all those years. They are going to protect Obama and his supposedly great legacy, and don't think that that's not going to happen.
Andy, thanks for joining us. Than, you did want to point out just before the show ends today, Congressman Jordan has asked Christopher Wray, the FBI director, for communications with the executive office of the president under the Obama administration on the Flynn matter. So there is some congressional inquiry into that.
Yeah, Jim Jordan in the letter that just went this week asked for exactly that information. He asked for a number of things, Jordan, but he clearly believes, like the caller did, there may have been some communications with the executive office of the president. He's asked for that information. I would say, Jordan, if it exists, the FBI director, Chris Wray, he definitely should send it over.
Absolutely, because there's a deluge of information coming, folks. So I want you to do this. Follow us at ACLJ.org. Follow our social media accounts. I just tweeted the House Judiciary GOP's tweet about Schiff caving and saying he's going to release the transcripts. Great work. Thank you, Ambassador Grinnell. Thank you for your letter, strong letter, saying you'll release them if not. We will talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.